point. But this is the way we are. And this is the way you don't want to go. The only way out of rebellion is repentance. True repentance. Now let me define some of these words here. And what these words here are going to do, it's going to open up your understanding, I believe, to some things. Now let's not imagination, because we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. That's not imagination. Now think about imagination as you know it. When you imagine things, the root word of imagination, what? Image? A picture? That you have formed in your mind? Listen to what it said. The ability to imagine things that are not real. My goodness. The ability to imagine things that are not real. Now, imagination, no apostle teaching on the soul, is a part of our soul. Imagination. You have the ability to create images in your mind, in your soul, in your mind. And when those images are created, there's two worlds that these images can live in. The first world they can live in is the spiritual realm, the realm that where God is, where you can imagine good thoughts. But there's a satanic realm, a satanic world that these thoughts or imagination can live in, and it'll give you satanic thoughts. Just as though you meditate in the spirit realm on the word of God, on things that are good, things that are acceptable, things that are the perfect will of God, you meditate on them, and you get a revelation of God, right? But on the other hand, you can meditate on in the satanic realm of negative and diversive things, and it will create another power, all right, in the satanic realm. You can have a stronghold in the spirit realm that's not negative, in the God realm. A stronghold says, the more folks say, I shall not be moved. You know that statement. It means I'm grounded, I'm rooted in Christ. Nothing going to come, nothing going to sway me, nothing going to move me, nothing going to change my mind about the Lord Jesus Christ, because I'm grounded. But there's another stronghold that 2 Corinthians 5, 10 and 5 going to talk about. This is the one that deals with, is a caught hold of a person's imagination. Let me read the definition again. Imagination, the ability to imagine things that are not real. The ability to form a picture in your mind of something that you have not seen or experienced. And most people that operate in rebellion have formulated the wrong thought from something that I haven't even seen. I was in Home Depot today picking up some stuff for the ministry. And I'm always witnessing. And I tell the young lady about the Lord. And Satan has a way to devise things to cross the person up that willing to hear. He sent a person there just to feed thoughts. And she was tightening up her proposal for me. And she said, what business? I said, world like Christ. Oh, money coming. I heard you gotta bring your check stuff. That's what she told the lady. And I heard you gotta have your W-2 form. And he's going on and on and on and on. I said, yeah, we got an ATM machine right in the foyer when you come. I help them, you see. Won't you, that's true, that's true? I said, oh, there's a bunch of lies. My point is, it created imagination in people's mind of something they have not even seen. I said, have you been there? No, I haven't been there. Well, how do you know those things are so? They heard it. And it created an imagination of thought that when you say water life, that guess what comes with it? Wrong thoughts. Satan tried to use it to keep people away from the truth and from the word. And that's what I told you, young lady. And then the Lord enabled me to pull out my wallet, pull out my invite card. I said, you be my guest and come see for yourself. And I think the Lord won her over. Because she broke down and said, sir, to be honest, I haven't been to church in years. I said, there's no accident that the Lord had me talking to you. I said, and she started telling me some reason why she stopped going to church. And that's another story. But my point is, she was deceived. And this other woman was building a stronghold in her mind even greater to say that all churches are the same. So she'd never been there. I said, have you been there? She said, no. I said, have you been there? No. How do you know these things? So you see how important it is, the stronghold imagination of something she had not even seen, only heard. And it created a picture in her mind. And she saw that. And so, but the Lord gave me a scripture that was able to change her mind. You see it? And as witnesses, as this apostolic government go forward, and as this evangelism spirit begin to get on us as members, we all got a job to do. Are we to convince what? Convince them about Christ. The Lord told me, and I'm getting back to my lesson, he said, their salvation is in your mouth. I said, whoa. You're carrying their salvation. That's Romans 10:9. That word is nigh thee, where? In thy heart and also in thy mouth. The word of faith will be preached. So their salvation. So when you pass a person, don't tell them about Jesus. You give them, or they didn't have the opportunity through you to get born again. Their salvation passed them right by. You would use their salvation and you passed them right by. My goodness. If I hadn't told that young lady about Jesus and about the word of God, then she would never have the opportunity to say, oh, I haven't been in church in the Lord. God ministered to her. You can't do anything if you don't open your mouth. That's one of the greatest pulpits you can ever find. That one-on-one. It's a train. Then I meet another lady. I witness every time I go somewhere, man, because that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for them. Apostles, they're always there. You got to look for them. So I'm in the store, and this woman here, and she's such a nice person. She always said, thank you, honey. You know, they had to say that, you know. Older woman. I said, yes, ma'am. I said, you're so nice. I said, you born again? Oh, no, I don't believe in God. He said, I don't believe in God. I believe in the higher being, but I don't believe in God. So it was a challenge for me, you see? And so these challenges will come. If you haven't been out there long enough, it will run you back in. And I've been getting to tell her what the word of God says. I can't convince her. I can't make her. But you put the word out. Let the word work in them. You know, give them a word. Leave them a scripture. It's the Holy Ghost. See, you're not the one saving them anyway. Give the Holy Spirit something to work with. See, now I ain't got on something else now. It's all good anyway, huh? Now, so you got the imagination, right? Now watch this one now. Here's the next word, imagination. Now, there's another word called reasoning. You've heard of reasoning, no? What reasoning does, it starts the process of thinking about something. We've all been there. It starts the process of thinking the thoughts. That been put in your mind. When a thought comes, the process just gets started. And your mind go to work and it begin to rehearse and begin to think those thoughts that it heard. Now, you're thinking those thoughts in their logical way. That's the sense room, you see. In order to form their conclusion or judgment. That's good. I'm going to read that one more time just because it sounds so good. Reason is the process of thinking about something in a logical way. What's a logical way? A logical way is the way I see things. The way it ought to be in my mind. You ever see something and you say, that's not, to me, that don't look right to me. That don't sound right to me. Well, that's your judgment. You just form a judgment over something. And then when you form a judgment, you reason yourself right out the will of God. Reasoning in the wrong way or take it right out smack of the will of God. People reason stuff on anything. How many people ever met someone that was fired up for the Lord in the church, then all of a sudden they disappear, and you meet them later on, and what they give you? A reason for why they left. A reason why they don't go to that church anymore. Well, the reason I don't go there because they formulate a logical conclusion and made a judgment that's not even aligned with the will of God. But they convinced themselves in their mind that this is the way it should be and this is the way it should have been, this is the way it should have gone. And they've already filed judgment. And you compare, am I making any kind of sense? And if you compare it to the Word of God, it makes no spiritual sense at all. And if you ain't got any kind of spiritual sense, you say, that's the most asinine thing I ever heard in my life. But to them, it made sense to them. Well, you don't see it like I see it. Well, you don't understand it like I understand. Yeah, I understand you're a fool. That's why I do understand. Because it's not the truth. It's a lie from the devil, and you just got deceived. Most people are out there because of deception by the Satan. You give them a thought, they got a reason, and they build a stronghold. Well, let's look at the scripture. 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. This scripture here, it's packed, it's loaded, and it's loaded to the point that if a person wants deliverance, they got to go to this scripture. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. Look what it said. Casting down what? Underline imagination. Imagination, he's not talking about all imagination, right? He's talking about what? Wrong imagination. Because they're a good imagination. I imagine myself sometimes being rich and being walking in health and just being a blessing to people. I imagine myself being a blessing to people. That's good imagination. But it's just casting down imagination. So, if I say it in everyday language, I'll say, stop those imaginations. Stop imagining. Stop those imaginations that came from that thought. Leave it alone. Stop it. Don't dwell on that. Take your mind off of it. Loose it and let it go. Sometimes you let thoughts linger too long. Stop it before it turns to something else. I'm making sense. Anybody ever let a thought dwell too long? And you have to pull yourself from it? Get jerked the slack from it? No, I can't keep thinking that. Somebody look at you the wrong way. Then all of a sudden your imagination going, what are you looking at me for? Then you're trying to think of what you've done them. Did I do them anything? Because they walked by and didn't speak? Man, maybe I did them something and don't know it. And before you know it, your mind is going on to some tangent. You got to stop it. Cast it down. Satan trying to take you to some tangent and get you somewhere you don't want to go. Casting down imagination and every high thing. That was it? that exalted itself against what? And that's what Satan does. The word of God is also what? The will of God. Satan likes to exalt himself or exalt his thoughts. Exalt his thought in you above the knowledge of God, above the will of God for your life. And once you take you from the will of God with these thoughts and ideas, he's got you going down another trail now. I used to rabbit hunt when I was a lot more than I have done the last 10 years. And then sometimes the dog, if you got good dogs and they're chasing that rabbit on his scent, if you don't watch it, they'll get on the trail. They'll run a mink. Yeah. They'll get off the rabbit trail running a mink. I don't want no mink. I said, I don't want a mink. I'm hunting a rabbit. I'm looking for a rabbit and there's a mink running. But what that was saying, Satan take you off the trail and have you going after something that you don't want. Now, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the will of God or the knowledge of God, didn't tell you what else to do. What's the next thing he says? And bring it? Is that what it says? And bring it into captivity every what? Underline that word right now. Underline that word. And bring into captivity every thought. Stop it. Start coming. Stop it. Hold up here. Thought. You're not taking me down the wrong road. Brother Wapen, he said, you cast it down, then you take back your thought. In other words, that's the wrong thought. You take the right thought back. That's how you bring to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You cast that thought away and bring back the right thought into captivity. You captive the right. I'm making sense. Yes, you bring the right thoughts into captivity. The thing that are true, the thing that are honest, the thing that are a good report, the thing that are virtue, the thing that are wholesome and righteous. But Satan wants to run these wrong thoughts. Apostle might make some changes sometime that might involve you. And then you might take it personally. No, sometimes he's following the Holy Ghost. And but Satan wants to make you think, maybe I did something wrong. And then he'll take you somewhere you don't want to go. No. Don't go down that trail. You with me? Stay focused. And stay on the will of God, the knowledge of God, the will of God. You see? So I'm just trying to show you how these little things will happen. You know, people have left for some of the craziest reason. For some of the dumbest reason. I call it dumb because they didn't have no spiritual maturity to be able to you got to have maturity to discern when Satan is talking to you and when you're just trying to let your mind run off with those wrong thoughts. Every person that's functioning in rebellion, now I've watched over the years, got swayed by some disgruntled person that caught a hold of them. Dissatisfied person that want their own will, want their own way, and they got sidetracked when they put their thoughts of murmuring and their dissatisfaction into their ear. And they got carried away with their doctrine. That sounds like Ephesians 4, huh? Carried about with every wind of doctrine. See, they got their wind of doctrine too, you know. Right? Well, God don't do that. You know. You got to know how to step. I made a statement last week about separating yourself. I forget how it went. But you got to separate yourself from these people that will just ruin it. You see it? Now, casting out imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity. See, it took me a while to understand that scripture. After you cast them down, the wrong thought, you got to take captive your thoughts back. See, I got to press that point. Bring your thoughts back. Come back into reality of the Word of God, and come back and take back your thoughts captive back to the will of God. And that's how you escape reasoning. That's how you escape rebellion. See, rebellion wants to get rooted. But if you don't let it stay in the ground too long, it's going to wither and die. If you think on it too long, it's going to take roots. You can't let it take roots. Anybody ever been offended any time in their lives? If you haven't, somebody lying in here, because we've all been offended. We've all been misinterpreted or misinterpreted somebody else, got offended, and the reason you got offended because you let your mind go the wrong way. One lady got offended because something she said I did, and I don't even know I did it. I remember the incident. She said I was coming out of the door of the sanctuary, and she said, and looked like I didn't want to speak. She said, and after she passed by, I said, Don't even remember saying, And she thought I was talking about her. She got offended by something I didn't even know I did. That's the deal with God. How can you offend people and don't know it? It's my intention to offend no one. But she had wrong thoughts already. When some people have been hurt, they think everybody hurting them after that. You see it? And when they're going through something, they think everybody know about it. And so they walk in shaky like. You got to help them if you can, if they let you. Now let me show you this word here I told you about. Deep rooted. Let's talk about deep rooted rebellion. I've heard it, but I never really dwelt on the thought of deep rooted rebellion. Just not this. Rebellious words come from rebellious reasoning. And reasoning, in turn, is developed by thoughts. I'm going to say it again. Rebellious words come from reasoning. And reasoning, in turn, is developed by thought. You see, now, we haven't got to the words yet. The thought comes. Then it's functioned to a process of reasoning. Remember, the reason is the process. Your thoughts go through a process of reasoning. And what's reasoning, y'all listen to me?
Yes, sir.
And what reasoning has convinced you that it's right, then it's formulated into words. I'm showing how the process of rebellion goes. It comes from a thought. It comes from a reasoning that the process it goes through, and then it's executed through words. Words release your rebellion, but it starts long before it comes out of your mouth. I'm trying to show you the process so you don't get taken by it. It started long before it comes out of the people's mouth. It's been harboring and incubating and manifesting itself all the while, and you can't see it until it's released through words. I remember Pastor, a woman just kept talking while Pastor was teaching. And he said, he corrected her. Oh, I don't ever listen to you. That's been there a long time. She been wanting to say that. She's got enough nerve Did you cast the demon out? No, we carried the demon out. Some demons you don't cast out, you carry them out. She exposed herself. Now, who wants to attach herself to somebody like that? What reason she got? I bet she had a reason. See, people don't do nothing without their reason. Their self-motivated reason. You see it? I hope I'm trying to plant something. I'm trying to structure something. I'm trying to show you how this thing is developed and how it's executed, but then I'm trying to show you how to get rid of it. Because nobody really want to be rebellious. But first thing is, an alcoholic, first thing I do is acknowledge I am an alcoholic. But you can never find a Bible in church say, I am a rebellious person. No, they never say that. Matter of fact, they'll sit among the crowd and act, and try to act just as normal like everybody else. But you remember my Superman had X-ray vision? Yeah. Jesus had X-ray vision of people's heart. Jesus was able to look inside a person, and the Bible said he knew their hearts. Well, sometimes through the apostolic anointing, an apostle, the Lord let him know people's heart. You see it? You could discern by the gift of the Spirit. See, thank God for the gift of the Spirit. A person's heart, their intent. You see, whether they're good, good for nothing. It might look good and plain on the outside. Might look like the most nicest person you could ever find on the outside. They'll deceive themselves. They'll try to deceive you. The nicest person on the outside, but inside, they're rebellious. It's not something. It's not something. We're going to be the team of people that be able to recognize when these people come with the most wrong spirit. I'm not talking about judging, no. But you're going to know. When they open their mouth, you're going to know their heart ain't right. You see it? Because those rebellious words are going to become so distinct that you're going to know it. You're going to know it when it come out of their mouth. Oh, you heard what she said? Somebody might not pick up on it, but your heart is so keen to wrong words. You've trained yourself so much to wrong words, you become eyes. You see, I tell people, I say, if you don't want a pastor to know, don't tell me. You see, he ain't got to be praying about everything if I know something. Yeah. And I developed over the years. I mean, I'm not a rookie in this. I mean, I know what needs to be recorded or marked. You know, I don't look. You ever heard of a tattletale? They're going to tell you everything. You can't keep nothing. Can tell everything. Because they don't know what to tell, what not tell. Something you got to wait and see and watch. You see, watchmen. We're watchmen in this ministry. Something you just got to watch. Sometimes you see something, you just watch it for a while and then see how it evolves. But you know, the Lord lets you know what to watch. You see it? Know what to watch. All right? I'm almost through. Y'all be good bait after a while. Y'all tired, I know. After a while. Now, but I'm almost through. A thought is the central factor in rebellion. A thought is the central factor in rebellion. You know what central factor means? You know? It's the main thing that leads to a person possessing or receiving that old spirit of rebellion. Man's rebellion, yeah, I'm harping this for this chapter. This is a chapter of rebellion, so I'm harping on it. That's why. I might talk about some other things in the next class, but this is the chapter that I'm harping on. This is the one we're going to be testing on next week. Man's rebellion is basically in his thought. Paul mentioned that we must destroy reasoning. and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Listen to this. Man likes to build reasons. This is good. As strongholds. That's the other word I give you. Man likes to build reasons as strongholds. And here's the definition of stronghold. A fortified place. Now I'm going to tell you how this works. Tell you how this works. Man like to build reasoning as strongholds. Remember it said thoughts? You meditate on thoughts and they go into a process of reasoning? Now watch. Now, reasoning, you take reasoning and you build a stronghold with reason. Now, a stronghold was a fortified tower that an army or military used to protect themselves, you know, against the enemy. It was a wall they built around them. Enemy couldn't come in, and it kept them from being exposed to the enemy. It was a form of protection, the stronghold. Well, here's what the rebellious people do. They take strongholds, and their reason become that wall around them. So nobody can touch them. Imagine my reason, you know, I don't go to that church because of reason X, reason Y, and reason Z. And those X, Y, Z reason is a wall that nobody can penetrate. I got my wall up. You're not going to take it down. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to let you touch my wall. I personalize this wall, and these are my reasoning that I do what I do, and I don't go where I don't go. I don't go to church no more, or I don't go to that church no more, or I don't like that pastor no more, I don't like that person no more, because this is my reason, X, Y, Z reason, and become a wall. I don't know if you see what I'm saying. And that wall is so, you made it so firm, that's why people can't get released from rebellion. That spirit had created a stronghold around it. They don't want nobody to, and it becomes their pet peeve. And now you can't convince them otherwise. Now here's the scripture that I'm going to close with. You see, because I show you that. And a person that's rebellious need deliverance, don't know they need deliverance, because they don't think they need deliverance. That's crazy, huh? They don't know they need deliverance because they think they're in the right. It's something when you think you're right and you're dead wrong. You know why? Because nobody can convince you otherwise. Let's go to the scripture in 2 Corinthians 2. And this scripture here, I'm going to use this scripture here to help you to see and try to convince. Remember I used the term about deep-rooted rebellion? That one that God's been there so long that it don't want to leave. You don't want to leave. It don't want you to leave. It holds you captive, okay? Now, in 2 Timothy 2? 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. This is serious, and people don't know how serious this is. Now, we are servants of the Lord, right? Now, watch this now. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. In other words, not argumentative about anything. We shouldn't argue with anybody about any of their belief system. Any of their reasoning that they try to put against us, we should not even argue with them. You know, sometimes they want to debate. Don't debate with a fool. It's the truth. You don't argue with a fool. Because the person that's rebellious has become a fool. And you'll sit there and argue with them, and they'll try to embarrass you in front of everybody. You see, I've almost been there. But I pull my shifter back, and I recognize, I say, I'm not going this way with them. And so I walked away. I couldn't help them. Why? As certain, the law must not be argumentative or strive, but be gentle unto all men and apt to teach and patient. Because the battle is not probably not yours anyway. In meekness, instructing those that do what? Oppose who? Themselves. You see that? In meekness, instruct, that's 2 Timothy 2 and 24. Instruct them that oppose themselves. People that are in rebellion have opposed themselves. They have come against them all, themselves, their own selves, and don't even know they're imposing them. It's one thing somebody else oppose you. But when you oppose yourself, you become a fool. In meekness, instructing those that impose themselves, watch. Impose themselves. In meekness, instructing those that impose themselves, as God preadventure will give them repentance to acknowledging of the truth. See, this where they got to face God for themselves. This way they got it. The rubber got to meet the road, and they come to a place where this thing is not between me and you no more, and not between us or the ministry or the apostle or the preacher or the pastor. It's between them and God. You have put yourself in a position where you it's between you and God now. Stand. Moses told the people, God told Moses, stand back. Remember when the ground about to cleave over? He said, stand back. If you don't want to go with them, stand back. Because not between you. You ain't got nothing to do with this no more. You stand back, Moses. You get back from them, Moses, because it's between me and them now. Oh, how awesome it is to put yourself into the hands of the Lord. They don't know. This thing not between men no more. It's between them and God. And that's a dangerous thing to put themselves in the hand of Almighty God. When the scripture says, vengeance belongs to me, said God. God says, you ain't got to deal with this. I got this one. They've got themselves so far out, they don't want to listen to man no more. They don't want to listen to counsel no more. They don't want to listen to sound wisdom and sound judgment no more. God says, that's okay, step back. I got this one. If preadventure God gave them repentance, like he gave Jezebel repentance, I give them room to repent. But if they don't, man, look at the time. It's zero. If they don't repent, I got to take care of it, okay? I hope you see this lesson. But that last part of that verse there,